This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Health Wednesday.
So factors like stress, poor diet, alcohol, inconsistent sleep, and medications can disrupt the delicate balance of our gut bacteria, and this can lead to inflammation and digestive issues. But the impact goes beyond digestion. A healthy gut is the cornerstone of overall well-being, from a robust immune system to clear skin, a positive mood, restful sleep. A happy gut really means a happy body and mind. So why not take a chance to hit the reset button and focus on getting your health, and gut health in particular, back on track. Let's talk about some proactive steps we can take to improve gut health and managing stress, as well as managing what goes into our body in terms of diet. I'm so excited to have clinical dietitian Ncebakazi Dlamini back with us in studio to give us some guidance. Ncebakazi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How important is gut health?
It's very important. Yeah. So gut health is actually everything. It's said to be the second brain, because it's just connected to all other organs of your body. So essentially, your gut is everything. It's that passageway from your mouth down to your anus. It's a passageway that allows anything that is put into your mouth to go through all the necessary steps and processes through a digestive system right down to your anus.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I think a person automatically thinks gut is just stomach. In the stomach. But let's talk about some of the aspects that maybe we're missing out on and potential issues we can have along that whole pathway.
Yes. So everything that we eat, so the digestive system actually starts from the mouth. That is why whenever we advise people on their dietary habits, we always advise them on variety of eating or variety of nutrients, because everything gets broken down in different part of the digestive system. There's something that gets broken down in the mouth that will not necessarily be broken down in your stomach. So, and then even with the stomach, even there, it's not just the stomach, because you have what we call your small intestine, the stomach, the large intestine. So whatever that is broken down into your small intestine may sometimes not be broken down in your stomach. Something like fiber does not get broken down anywhere except for the large colon, which is the colon, the large intestine, sorry.
Oh, that's very interesting. Now, when you say broken down, Ncebakazi, what exactly do you mean?
I mean, so the body needs nutrients from the food to fuel it so that it can perform metabolic functions, right? So those nutrients come from the food. There are things like your enzymes that will help to break down, and also your whole, what we call gut microbiota, which is a collective of microorganisms such as your fungi, your viruses, as well as your bacteria. So all collectively, they help to break down whatever that is ingested, so that it can be broken down into metabolites or nutrients for the body to absorb and use those metabolites.
That is fascinating. So there's certain things that we eat that in the mouth, that's almost where they end up, right? Or,
yes.
or down the tract, that's yes. almost where they end up.
Yes.
And then others that'll go all the way down.
Yes.
And so I imagine if you're not able to break them down where they're supposed to be broken down,
that means there's a problem.
You're in for some issues.
Yes.
So what kinds of issues then, what common signs and symptoms are there of an unhealthy gut?
The very popular common signs of unhealthy gut will be your diarrhea,
okay.
vomiting, nausea, and sometimes a lot of people do feel like a burning sensation around your upper part of the stomach, which may manifest itself as heartburn. But collectively, they may progress to things like your irritable bowel syndrome, your acid reflux, gastritis, and so on and so forth. And even, well, celiac disease, those are all a part of disorders or conditions that are due to unbalanced health gut.
So let's now talk about healthy gut function across the whole system, right? What are key factors to keep our gut properly functioning?
So first of all, and it's because I actually see a lot of patients with this. A lot of people skip meals. It may be for different reasons. You are busy, you're trying to lose weight, which is very big, or, well, medical reasons as well. You're sick and so on and so forth. So if we are going to try to keep the gut healthy, we have to ensure that all these microorganisms that I mentioned earlier are balanced. And how do we balance that? From a nutritional point of view, you have to, the diet that you have to be on is a diet that is well balanced. Yeah. It has all food groups, from your protein to your carbs to your fats to your dairy to your legumes to all of other food groups. Sure. All of food groups must be present, because each food group plays a huge role. Has its role to play. For example, your protein is responsible for your muscles, your fat is responsible for your hormone, your carbs is responsible for your energy. So you need all of them. I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to eat carbs.
Diet culture really has done a number on us.
It has.
And it has. Even, and you know, everyone must be vegan. That's also done a number of us. So talk to me about what you're seeing with the fad diets, yes, but the kind of cultural changes that are actually having a negative impact on our gut overall.
So firstly, let's start with, I know a lot of people now are getting into counting of calories, right? So people are leaning towards consistency over variety.
Ooh.
What do I mean by that?
Yeah.
When I say consistency, people believe that, and I'm going to go to the weight loss market, people believe that if you eat one and the same food, then you are most likely to achieve weight loss goals, right? However, what is being missed there is that if you are going to be in this one monotonous diet that you are embarking on in order for you to achieve your weight loss, then you are missing out on other nutrients that are actually just as vital for your body, like the other ones that you are eating. So that is why sometimes we find that people have deficiencies of some sort. It's because of all that diet, monotonous diet that people go on, missing out on other nutrients.
So monotonous diet could be what? Brown rice, salmon, 5 days a week, that's all you eat. And then
like chicken fillets, chicken or chicken breasts.
Lightly salted.
Yes, broccoli. So like broccoli, rice, and chicken fillet.
As opposed to what? What can we add to that that would then maintain the goal of picking up weight or losing weight, right? Because it's a very like exercise, bodybuilder, losing weight thing. And maintain gut health.
We're also missing another very important aspect of you enjoying food.
Yes.
So if you are going to...
Jada Pinkett Smith told us that we must not live to eat. We must eat to live.
Say that again.
We must not live to eat. So you wake up thinking, today's lunch is going to be so good. Which happens to me all the time. I'm like, that thing that
I
cooked.
All the hardships in the world, chances are food is the only thing that just makes sense to you.
But we must eat to live. So we must just be feeding ourselves like you would water a plant, just basically for nutrition. So you're saying, come on, you're allowed to enjoy food.
You're allowed to enjoy food. I mean, for example, when you eat carbs, you're more likely to feel happy.
That is correct.
Because when you when you eat carbs, they are responsible to trigger the secretion of your happy hormones, the serotonin, that is secreted largely yes. in your stomach, uh-huh. right? And again, that now is connected to your brain. You see how now the gut forms this part of being a second biggest brain. Brain, because it connects very greatly with your brain.
That's incredible. Give us more of those. So the carbs will do that. And you said mm-hmm. something about the fats with your hormones. Tell us about that.
Yes. So the fat is responsible for regulating a lot of hormones, mm-hmm. right? So you'll find that when you eat fat as well, you'll find that aspect of happiness, right? So that is why we say you cannot eliminate fat, but there are good and bad fats, right? So the good fats being your polyunsaturated fats, your monounsaturated fats, and then your saturated fats attempt to be bad fats, but you also need a little bit of that. For example, about 7% of your fat in your diet.
Animal fats.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's yes. very interesting.
That is why... what you call it's mm-hmm. about studies about cancer, yes. they don't necessarily say that you must cut, for example, your red meat, but you are allowed about 3 portions of red meat per week, and that is 300 to 500 grams wow. of red meat.
You must remind us because we go in.
I know. I mean, if you go out and you go for a steak, you're more likely to go for 200 or 300 grams if you're yeah. a lady. And if you're a man, you're more likely to be more than that.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fat, carbohydrates.
Your protein.
Protein. Now, mm-hmm. protein's important for?
Your muscles.
The muscle build.
Yes. Okay. Very much responsible for your muscles.
And so a young person... going to school every day, the brain's still growing. What are the things that the gut and the brain need to have the best chance of a big, healthy, intelligent brain?
Again, it depends, because also it's not only the brain that they must look out
right,
for.
Course,
it's also your bone growth, the physical growth.
I'm speaking specifically to brain food,
to the brain,
because we are told that there are some things to eat for brain food and development.
Yes. So you're looking at your omegas there, your omega-3, your omega-6. That means your fish, your olives, your olive oil. All those things, those ones, they are responsible for your brain health, right? And not only are they responsible for your brain health, but also responsible for reducing inflammation in your body.
So where in the gut's that happening?
The inflammation.
The science that the amazing fish is working with your second brain to reduce inflammation. What's being secreted?
Do you remember when I mentioned the microorganisms?
Yes.
So those good bacteria, well, and bad bacteria actually, yeah. because you have both of them living in your gut. So they break down that, and then whenever that is broken down, it becomes metabolites,
yes.
so that the body can receive, right? So now if you are getting your omega-3s and your omega-6, that is going to help for inflammation. If there is an inflammation, then it's going to help reduce the inflammation
Brilliant.
In the body, right?
It dispatches it where it needs it.
Where it needs it,
yeah.
yes.
Oh,
yes.
I love that. That's very good. So it does make sense to eat a varied diet
Definitely.
For health on a daily
Definitely.
Basis. 0861-987-000. That's the number to dial. We're talking about the importance and the power of gut health. We've got clinical dietitian Gqeba Azil Dlamini in studio with us to talk about the various aspects that can add to our gut health or even take away from our gut health. Lerato Ketrang is on X and says, "Hi, Bubby, I struggle with my gut. I do intermittent fasting and my first meal is only at 12 midday. However, I do drink water and green tea. However, I have so much gas an hour after I eat. Any advice?"
So another thing, it's always important to know why something is happening. Where is it coming from? Mm. So that it enables you to know, where to go from there.
Yes.
Right? So a breakfast is called breakfast for a reason, because you're fasting that break. When you were sleeping, that was the break. Now you're waking up. And that fast, that breaking of fast needs to happen within 2 hours, right? Post waking up. Okay. Yes. So it means that if you wake up at 5, then at least you must have eaten something by 7 a.m.,
yes.
Right? So by eating something, I don't necessarily mean that now you must sit down. If you don't have time, you must sit down for a cereal or anything of that sort. You can have an apple, maybe an apple and a banana. That's still your breakfast. So breakfast is the time of the meal, not necessarily the content or the nutrients that you eat. Okay. So what happens is that when you skip meals, there are a certain chemicals that are produced in our bodies to help break down the food that you would have eaten, right? And one of the prominent one is your hydrochloric acid, is what we call hydrochloric acid. So the hydrochloric acid, the secretion of this hydrochloric acid is continuous. Whether or not you eat, it will be secreted regardless, right? So when you are not eating, it means that this hydrochloric acid that has been secreted will have to find a way, or will have to find something else to break down. And usually that will be the lining of your stomach, which is the protective layer of the stomach. So when there is no protective layer of the stomach, it means that both good and bad bacteria will have easy access. It's like at your home when you don't have a gate, right? Criminals can... well, they have high chances of going in and out without any barrier. So that is the same thing that happens. So that acid is the one that accumulates and may cause your symptoms such as your bloating, your nausea, your vomiting, and so on and so forth. So we usually advise that the management to that is basically going back to eating. Now you have to eat small meals, but regularly.
Okay. So intermittent fasting, who is it good for? Why is it such a trend?
Because people do achieve their goals when they are on intermittent fasting.
To lose weight.
To lose weight, yes. And the main, one of the main reasons with that is whenever you reduce your calorie intake, you are definitely, definitely going to see the results. But now, for how long?
That's the issue.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, right? Because surely the gas is a symptom that the gut's not necessarily too happy about what's going on.
Yeah.
So can we talk about the results then once you've irritated your gut?
Yes, definitely. So once you have irritated your gut, obviously there will be consequences to that, such as bloating. So from there, now, in order for you to manage that, you're going to have to try and eliminate things that triggers bloating, right? Mm-hmm. And I can think from a vegetables point of view, things like your broccoli, your beans, lentils, onions, all those things are the things, those are the food, cabbage, those are the foods that are gaseous. And therefore, when you eat them, you are triggering all of that that has been there. So the best way that you can manage all of that is to also add probiotics to your diet.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. What are probiotics? How to, if you are somebody like Lerato, and maybe you actually just want to carry on with your intermittent fasting because you're seeing the centimeters go down. Once you stop this 40-day fast or whatever it is that you're on.
Yes.
How can you kind of recover in a healthy way? Okay. So we'll talk a little bit about that and then give us more advice about probiotics and any of your calls. It can come through on 0861-987-000. Right now, 2:30, time for the headlines.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861-987-000.
We're talking about gut health. It's Power Lunch on Power 98.7, and we're joined by clinical dietitian Cebakazi Dlamini to give us an insight into what we need to know when it comes to gut health. And we're always, you know, I always joke, Cebakazi, when I have doctors or experts and, you know, people, clinicians in studio with me, I always try and get my little consultation. So we just did that now. And I don't know if you can look at me the same after the information that I've given you. But one of the things that I mentioned is, to do with breakfast and coffee intake. So talk to us about that first thing in the morning. You know, you reach for your coffee. People say that they don't feel like a normal person before they've even had their coffee. What does this do to your gut health?
Okay, so a coffee is not necessarily a bad a liquid. In fact, you can have your coffee on a daily basis, mm-hmm. but obviously you are limited to at least 300 milligrams. And if we put that into, kitchen measurements,
yes.
that will be three cups a day. The problem comes though when you are not going to have anything other than coffee, because coffee contains caffeine, and caffeine triggers the secretion of the hydrochloric acid that we spoke about earlier.
Okay, so you need to have something with the coffee.
You have to have something.
And this is then going back to the apple, the banana, something like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What about a slice of cake?
Oh, the slice of cake. Again, it depends how much of that slice you are going to eat.
Because,
again, remember, the slice of cake is made up of different ingredients, but the one ingredient that always stands out is sugar, right?
Yeah.
So we are also limited to sugar. So we are allowed to take in sugar because you need that as well. It makes you happy. It also responsible for your energy stores. So for women, you are allowed about 6 teaspoons of sugar, and for men, it's about 9 teaspoons of sugar. So how much of the slice is it going to contribute towards your sugar intake?
Okay, got you. I wanted to clarify a couple of things about sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar, do we need to, or what happens when you eliminate it completely?
What happens when you eliminate sugar completely? I can't really think of a significant...
So we can live without sugar.
You're not going to be happy though, are you?
But this is what I'm saying. So what does what happens in your gut? Similar to the fat and the hormone.
Can you completely stay out of sugar? Because sugar does not necessarily mean that it's the sugar
you have
that
tomato
you see
sauce,
it.
You
yes,
have sugar.
And those things are actually high in sugar. But now also there's a difference between added sugars and natural sugars, right? Natural sugars is the one that we advocate for. Added sugars is the one that we don't necessarily advocate for.
So in your gut brain, the sugar will also be broken down and it adds to... Or it helps
your energy stores.
The energy, yeah.
Yes, and your, well, happy hormones.
Okay.
Okay. So the problem comes when we have the added sugar, right? The one that is not natural. Remember, anything that is not natural or highly processed food, rather, they are high in preservatives and they're also high in your additives. And those are the things that hinders the growth of good bacteria, which will then have a negative impact on your gut microbiota.
So the sugar in an apple, good.
Definitely.
White sugar in a teaspoon, not so good.
That one is okay.
It's okay. So where are we getting to where it's not okay?
I would say things like, what do we call? I'm going to sound controversial when I say sweetness. Your aspartame.
Aspartame, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Those sugars that you will find in your fizzy drinks. Your sugars that you will find in things that says added or sweetened.
Sure. Yes. Okay, got it. Oza was very worried because there's a lunch bar addiction here in the studio. So we were very worried if maybe once a week this lunch bar is doing any bad to our gut health.
Well, hopefully, because the chocolates, I don't know if you guys have noticed, the chocolates are going up now because of the cocoa.
Yes.
That is taking a very hard knock.
Yes.
So they're going to increase the prices if they have not increased the prices.
Excuse me.
Already.
Yeah. Let's speak to Muntu, who's on the line. Muntu is on the line. Hello, how are you?
How are you, mommy?
Oh, I'm great, thank you. So talk to me. What's happening with your gut health?
Listen, hi, doc. Oh, hi. Is it a doc, ne?
Hello, dietitian.
Our clinical dietitian, yeah.
I have a problem. Is it normal? What would happen is that I would have a meal. And then I would only be able to do number two days after. Is that normal?
Sure.
And then
how do you feel in all that time?
It's okay, but I see with my lower part of my body, I don't like it that much because I always think that the food that was supposed to go out is still there. So you see how it's defeating me mentally.
Would you then say you feel some kind of bloat feeling?
No, I don't have that. It's just normal. I would be okay, but mentally I would say there's still something that is there that needs to get out.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So I wanted to find out, is that normal? Because one thing that I've also realized is that if I go to gym and then I would have a shake, and then later on I would have all bran, then my days go smoothly, meaning that if I would have lunch around 12 and then around half past one to two, then I'm able to do number two, how I would like things to go. Yet, but it's not happening that way until I have all bran for breakfast, and I don't like all bran. That's a thing as well. Can that not happen?
Let's
without
talk
even,
about it. Yeah. Very important question there, because I think lots of people. I've got two other questions talking about going number two. So I think it's important if this is it is part of gut health, right?
Definitely.
To talk about the frequency, how often we're meant to be going as natural gut health people, and what a person like Muncha can do. It sounds like you found your solution, but he doesn't like that specific food. So what else can he do?
Yeah, I wanted to say that you actually have found your solution there. But what is normal to you may not necessarily be normal to someone else. So nutritional norm is relative, right? So it means that we are actually meant to go to number two or the loo at least once a day, but if you go twice, that is still okay, right? The reason why it could be maybe,
but he's going like the next day after 2 days.
Yes it could be. So there are three things that are very important in order for us to go, right? Is a diet that is high in fiber, 2 is mobility, 3 is your water. Right. So if you're going to have your diet that is high in fiber, for example, your Kellogg's or your All Bran, they're very high. They're very high in fiber. So it means that they promote that mobility. They promote that bowel movement, right? And the water, which will then aid into that movement of the bowel. Then your mobility when you go to gym. Right? So that combination will actually give you good results. But now you don't necessarily have to eat only all bran. There are other sources of fiber or cereal that you can have. For example, your Weet-Bix, your oats, your muesli, your Nutrifix.
So there are other brands, there are other things that are available. But on the packaging, what are we looking for specifically?
You're looking for fiber, right? If you turn around your product and you look at the table behind at the back of your product, right? You will see there that there will be fiber, right? And if it's 6 grams, if I'm not mistaken, per 100 gram, then that is termed to be ideal or high fiber product, right? But then at the end of the day, you at least have to have about 30 grams of fiber. Now, where else do you get fiber? So your fruits and vegetables, they are very high in fiber. So it's very important that you eat your fruits and your vegetables, and we always encourage 5 servings of those per day. They are more likely to give you that 30 grams of fiber per day.
Okay, excellent. I want to get to the probiotics and prebiotics conversation, but Abram is on the line from Mutlaking, so I want to take Abram first. You've been so patient. Hi, Abram.
Hi, Bobby. I just wanted to find out. I heard you guys just now say, you know, sweetness, and the lady said I'm going to contradiction.
It's part of me.
And then white sugar, 1 teaspoon is fine. But I'm diabetic. Where do I fall?
That's exactly why I said it would be controversial, because with diabetic, people living with diabetes, they're always advised to have a sweetener. right? But also, now we have to look at it. What is it that actually affect your sugars to spike negatively? When you take your white sugar compared to your sweetener, is there a difference?
For me, because now I sometimes don't listen to doctors too much. I take, I've reduced my number of brown sugars that I take. I take 1 teaspoon
in a mark. Does it make a difference? Does it spike your sugars?
No, I've gotten used to it, but it doesn't spike my sugar. Mostly, it could spike my sugar if I eat too much. I must just eat small portions, then I'll be fine.
Yes, yes. That's the case. And even when you eat too much, because when you eat too much of refined carbohydrates, then that's when the sugars are going to spike. Yes. But the reason why I was saying that it could be a problem for the gut is because of the additives and the preservatives that are added there. They hinder, they block the growth of the microorganism in your gut, which obviously that has a negative impact in the long run. But we never honestly just look at one food group that's going to have either a positive or negative impact. They collectively will have an impact on your gut.
Okay, and then now on a lighter note, the sugars on the cider.
A very important South African question. You know, Abraham, he ran away. He hung up the phone. That is so funny. Alcohol. Yeah, the sugars in ciders and alcohol.
Yeah.
It's a lot, no?
It is. But funny enough, again, you are allowed. The problem is we want to eat and drink things excessively. That's where the problem comes. But you are allowed, at least ciders have, they have very high sugar content in them compared to others. For example, your wine, your spirits, your
beer.
Yes, your beer. So they have very high content of a sugar. And that is not necessarily a good sugar, because we spoke of good and bad sugar.
Okay. All right. So beware of that. Let's go quickly. Probiotics, prebiotics. How do we add these into our gut health regimen / diet? And what exactly are they? What are they doing in our gut?
So probiotics, originally, and even with probiotics, there's still some studies that needs to be done to confirm if they are really significant or not to our gut health. But so the fiber, earlier we spoke of different food groups that gets broken down in different areas of your body from mouth to anus. So fiber gets broken down in the last part of your digestive tract. So it gets broken down in the last part of your gut. So now when it gets broken down, it becomes metabolites. And those metabolites are what we call your probiotics. Prebiotics. Yes.
So our body is making that.
Yes.
Okay.
So prebiotics basically is the food for bacteria in simple terms, right? And then your probiotics is the good bacteria. So when you get prebiotics, you are feeding on the probiotics to do the work.
Nope, I'm lost.
Okay. So probiotics, right, is the live cultures, your bacteria, your good bacteria.
Got it.
Prebiotics is the food for these probiotics.
Understood.
Yes. So you need both of them in order for you to balance out your microorganisms.
So when we're given antibiotics, they say take probiotics because the antibiotics are doing what?
Wipes away the good bacteria.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, antibiotics does not know how to distinguish between good and bad bacteria.
Right.
So when it wipes out the bad bacteria, it also does with the good bacteria.
Okay.
So you need your probiotics to replenish.
So should we be taking supplements of prebiotics at all times? Should we be taking supplements of probiotics at all times?
Like I said, prebiotics gets broken down from fiber.
Okay, so we should be
eating. if you're increasing your fiber intake, unless otherwise, because there are some cases where a fiber intake may be contraindicated, and those are your disorders.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if that's the case, perhaps you may take supplements.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I hope that answers some of the probiotic and prebiotic questions, because I've got quite a few that have come through. Let's speak to Labi, who's on the line in Pretoria. Hi, Labi.
Good afternoon, healthy people.
Yes, and to you.
So this is a question from a friend of mine. He goes for a week without doing number two. Every morning goes to the bathroom, he sits down, and there's a lot of gas that get released. Nothing but gas. Loud, noisy gas that get released. Then he goes around advice, and he's told that no, he's probably suffering from constipation, but doesn't have the edge to do number two on any given day. Like he can go for a week without number two, and there's no edge. Then solution, he's told he should consider colon cleansing, Speedy, Miss Alba, etc., etc. What is the good dietitian's views on the proposed solution, or alternatively, on what could be the problem? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. That's actually a very important question, because the spade or enema, as we medically call it. So when a person maybe, for example, is not mobile, maybe they're bedridden, right? So they lack that mobility, which then promotes the bowel movement. So those people, we can do enema to them safely, right? However, it makes the gut lazy for people that are not bedridden. So if your friend is not bedridden, and can walk and can actually do some sort of exercises, I would encourage that he does that and increase the fiber intake as well as the water. Because if you're going to continue to do the spade or to continue to perform enema, it's making your gut lazy, which will then have bigger
consequences.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, what about acne, skin health, and the connection to the gut. What's happening in your gut potentially that's making your skin break out, and what can you shift and change?
So so how do we measure a healthy gut? How do we know when the gut is healthy, right? So when the gut is healthy, that means your microorganisms are balanced. Right? So how do we balance them out? Again, from the nutritional perspective, you have to eat a variety of food. Right? And in that sense, then when you eat your food that is balanced, that means you're getting all the nutrients. Because if I am not mistaken, your protein gets broken down into what we call a tryptophan, right, which will, and your glutamine, which will then be responsible not only for your skin but also part of your skin, right? And again, there are foods that are responsible for a good skin, like your vitamin C. I mean, you would have seen the products, the fish oil products, most of them
to put it
contain
topically, but if you ingest them, it's a similar thing.
Yes. So that's basically where everything is coming from. It's connected largely, again, to your brain.
Let's speak to Togozani, who is in Centurion. Hi, Togozani.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. I've got clinical dietitian Ngubagazi Dlamini here with us. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Ngubagazi.
Hi, Togozani.
I just wanted to ask, so what I normally do in the morning, I blend fruits and vegetables and like create like a shake. So I just want to know if that is beneficiary, or by blending it I'm actually taking away what is supposed to be beneficiary.
Is the question about mixing the fruits and vegetables, or is the question about maybe the blending is taking something away, or heating it or something?
Both.
Okay, cool, got you.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank you.
Torx, thank you. Yeah, that's a very important one, because we all believe in our green shakes and we're putting everything. And then children who don't want to eat vegetables, that's how we get them to eat vegetables.
I mean, so if that's the case, then that's a positive way.
Okay.
That's a positive way. I can't necessarily say there's a right and wrong thing, but I will just try to break it down, right? Yeah. So when you are blending your fruit and your vegetables, there is some amount of fiber that is lost there in blending, right? Okay. It's not that significant, right? So if you're a person, I mean, if I were to compare a person who doesn't eat at all in the morning to a person that drinks a shake in the morning, obviously the one that drinks the shake in the morning is better.
Got it.
Right? So if you're a person that suffers from loss of appetite in the morning, you don't want to chew, maybe the shake is... maybe the, the shake
is incredible. Yes, but I do understand what you're saying. Let's see. Gaba says a similar thing. He's guilty of coffee, only eats when he gets home. He has a snack bar because he works on the road. He drives around. So there's different things, that the reasons why people may not want to chew in the morning. Yes.
But the snack there, you have to be very careful of the snack. So they are the culprits. They tend to contain lot of sugar in them.
Yes.
So it's very important to choose your snack wisely.
But to go back to Togazani's question, that's okay.
It is okay. I mean, to a certain extent, it is okay. I mean, if we were to choose between you not eating, and you drinking the shake, definitely the shake would be better.
Stress, insomnia, anxiety. I mean, that literally is butterflies in their stomach, or figuratively is butterflies in the stomach. What's going on in our gut health, and how do those things impact our gut health?
So stress is a response basically to your environment, right? It could be external, it could be internal, right? And that will, your stress is known to increase the cortisol, what we call the cortisol, right? And I know a lot of people, sometimes if we go back to the weight loss people or weight loss market, sometimes you find that they do everything right except for that stress. They have high amount of cortisol due to stress. So you have to find a way to manage the stress. It could either be through exercise, meditating, I don't know, maybe talking to your loved ones.
Figure it out.
Yes, but you have to find a way to deal Oksala, with the stress.
You need to mitigate the stress. Sleep?
Sleep as well is also affected by stress and also can be affected by gut health.
So you should... get those hours.
You
of sleep.
Have to get those hours of sleep.
Can,
8 hours, yes. If you can.
Sure.
8 hours, sure. If you can, you definitely do need.
Can there be a solution for lactose intolerance?
Yes.
Tell me.
So the solution to lactose intolerance, I don't want to necessarily say is the complete elimination of lactose in your diet. You can start with complete elimination of lactose in your diet and then introduce gradually.
Okay.
So I said to you offline that our bodies are a very, very special thing to ever happen to us. Mm. Whatever that you train it to do, it can adapt to that.
Mm.
So if you are going to stay away from lactose, that's what your body is going to know. Right?
So people who are lactose intolerant, how did they become that way?
Sorry?
How did they become that way? What are you saying? Their bodies are trained.
No. They could be born with it.
Okay, got you. No, I needed to understand that, because that's what it sounded like you were saying.
No.
You need to come back. We've run out of time. We need to do part two. Gut part two.
Definitely. No?
Number two. Ha, 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 ha.
Wow.
Tabagazi Dlamini, clinical dietitian. You've been amazing today. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.